With a not so angry, not so angry environmentalist.
Hello and welcome to Not So Angry Environmentalist, presented by Urvari, where we take up issues related to the environment and discuss them rationally. The environmental community is pretty hostile right now, and this is our attempt to be more inclusive in the journey to fight climate change. And joining me as usual is the co-founder of Urvari, Vasundhara Gupte. Hello.
Hi, one of these days we need to like get an actual guest, bro. The as usual really stung.
It is a work in progress, okay? We will eventually get... Do you know Noam Chomsky replied to my mail yesterday? Oh my God.
Oh wow. Oh wow.
I was like, I was seeing his lectures, okay, about like random stuff that is not important. And then I started searching up stuff about him, and one of them said that he's very quick with mail. And then there was this thing where like, two linguistic students are talking, and then one of them is like, Noam will reply to me before the next drink comes, and then Noam does reply to him. So I was like, let's test it. So then I went and I was like, I don't have a smart question to ask him. I don't think I'm smart enough to ask him a like worthy question. So I was like, let's invite him to the podcast, no? Because that makes a lot more sense. So I was like, I'm from Mumbai, I run this environmental podcast, blah, blah, blah. And I'd love for you to come and speak about how the youth can like contribute in fighting climate change, blah, blah, blah. And then in like 2 hours he replies and he's like, I love what you're doing, but I'm very busy and won't be free for the coming months, blah, 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 blah. But I wish you best of luck or something.
Bro, I mean, if that ever happens, honestly, I would be too intimidated to like actually be on the podcast with him, because I'll always be thinking, oh, I'm going to say something stupid.
Honestly, bro, like in my head, in my khayali pulao, I had like decided that if he says yes, what will I do? And the thing was literally to go to the psychology faculty of my university and be like, Noam Chomsky is coming on my podcast, so please give me questions to ask to him. And I was planning to have this entire discussion board. And anyway, we will build a listening audience eventually, which is worthy of having him. And then I am going to again and be like, now Ukraine is over, come. Anyway, diverted from the topic a lot,
which we haven't even introduced, by the way. I think everybody at this point thinks we're going to talk about Noam Chomsky.
We aren't, although I would love to. I will find some connection of him to the environment, but today we are talking about veganism. This was originally going to be the first episode, but we had to put so much research into it. No, we're just lazy. We're just goddamn lazy. Anyway, so today we're going to discuss veganism and the morality which surrounds veganism, and does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Do you think it makes sense? I mean, obviously, it kind of depends on the reasons. There's people are vegans for different reasons, right? Do you believe in any of them?
Yes. I will say this at the start and then I'll explain my stance throughout this episode, and I'll say this again at the end. I think that like issues are complex. Carbon footprint is a complex issue. Animal cruelty is a complex issue. And I think veganism is a very like simple blanket solution to all of them. So I don't know if it's a perfect solution, but I definitely think it's a like worthwhile step, and I applaud people who go vegan, but I think it requires more than that. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a wrong question actually, because I feel like even if you ask me, like we said, there's mainly two reasons why people go vegan. It's either animal cruelty or carbon footprint. But again, I mean, if you ask me, do you believe in any of them? I'll have a very nuanced opinion about it, right? Which we will break down today. So do you want to go first?
Sure. So as you said, besides religious beliefs, there are two reasons why people go vegan. Either they are against animal cruelty, or they think that veganism leads to a lesser carbon footprint. So I would like to start about animal cruelty. Actually, I'd first recommend a book to each one of you, which is called An Omnivore's Dilemma, which talks about the food industry. And it's not a book which tells you to convert to veganism. In fact, the author writes that there are people who have read the book and mailed him saying that they turned vegan after reading the book. And there are people who mailed him saying that they were vegan, but they started eating meat after reading the book, you know?
Wow. So
it's not a propaganda, these many cows are dying, blah, blah, blah. It's not a that book. It's just an informative book about the food industry, the American food industry.
Yeah, I think that is very important, right? Because I feel like there's so much propaganda surrounding veganism. Oh, go vegan, this is happening, that is happening. So, I mean, this is a book I'd like to read, because then I get to decide, you know, form my own opinion about it. It's not pushing a particular agenda on me.
Yes.
Oh, but yes, you were saying.
So the author is like, I will try cooking / eating a meal from each of the production sources where my food comes from. So the first meal he prepares is just like a McDonald's meal or whatever, which comes from the mainstream food industry, okay? The ones that use fertilizer, factory farming, all those things. The second one is from the mainstream organic industry. So the organic fruits which you buy at a mall, not particularly from a farmer's market or a farm, but you know, the ones which run a company of organic food.
Mm-hmm.
The third meal is from a farm, which is not the mainstream organic food industry, but the actual organic food industry. He calls it beyond organic food industry. And the fourth one is just him being a hunter-gatherer, not important for our discussion today. So anyway, so the thing is that he speaks about animal cruelty a lot in the mainstream mainstream food industry. And one of the main reasons why it is animal cruelty is because cows, they should be grass-fed animals. But what the industry is doing is feeding them corn and force feeding them corn to make them fatter faster. Mm-hmm. And that is what is very cruel for them, because their digestive system doesn't agree with corn. And that is why they have ulcers, they have respiratory problems, their fat is more than it should be. They're living in very unhealthy and unhygienic conditions in general. Even chickens, they are being fed a mixture of diets, not what they are supposed to be fed. These include like gummy bears. Some of them are being fed with chicken meat only. Like that's forced cannibalism on chickens. Like what the hell, man? So yeah, animal cruelty is a pretty rampant thing in mainstream food industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I in fact read some statistics about this from World Economic Forum. And did you know an estimated 50 billion chickens are slaughtered for food every year? And this is excluding male chickens and unproductive hens. So what the thing about male chickens is, these people are obviously like force breeding quickly. They want to breed as many chickens as possible, right? So when a male chicken is born, these people do not have the time or resources. They don't want to waste like food and resources and stuff to raise a male chicken who cannot breed further. The ideal solution for them is to have a female chicken born who can, you know, continue the breeding process for them. And even if they want to like sell the male chicken as chicken, they'll have to like actually raise it first so that it grows into a proper chicken. So what they do is, the minute a male chicken is born, ideally they'll just slaughter it. The same goes for unproductive hens. If the hen is unproductive, then it's basically pointless to raise it, right? So they just slaughter it.
Damn, I wonder why the men's rights activists aren't rebelling against this. Where are you when we need you, man? So yes, animal cruelty is a huge issue, but like even in the beyond organic industry, it is a huge issue, right? Because when you think of organic food, you think it will be like chickens in a field running around, doing whatever the hell they want. But it's not that. Even like if there's a company which is producing organic meat at a large scale, what they basically, or like free range meat, what they're basically doing is putting the chickens in a cage, having the cage closed for the first 4 weeks and then opening it for the rest of the 4 weeks. So there are two small gates at each end of the cage which are open. And the chickens are so used to seeing inside that they never go out. And the ones that go, like, some of them wander out, even those get disease ridden and then they die. You know?
That's horrible.
Yeah, so when you see free range meat, it's not cruelty free. But the beyond organic farms are actually the ones which are raising cattle and chickens in the way that they should be raised, in the sense that they have figured out an ecosystem. Okay, so they have figured out when to release the cows on the grasslands so that they eat there and then like shit there, right? And then they allow the manure to rest there for a certain day. And then when the worms in the manure are fat enough, they bring out the chickens. The chickens eat the worms. And then the grass grows from the manure. And then it's a cycle. So they've figured out this amazing cycle. They haven't figured it out. We did it before there was an industry. So anyway, but they've cracked it. And at the end of the day, the cows and the chickens are being fed what they're supposed to be fed, and they have a free range, like a truly free range. So I don't feel like there is a harm killing those animals at the end of the day after they've lived a full life. So I don't see the animal cruelty in that sense.
I mean, that is part of the life cycle, right? That is my whole point. So I mean, as long as we are within the life cycle, that is always how it has been. I mean, we can't say, oh, deers are pretty animals, lions shouldn't kill them, because then what is the lion going to eat? So yeah, it's part of the life cycle. Similarly, we are technically, you know, omnivorous beings, so we are meant to eat these animals, but just in a certain limit. I feel like, again, I have a statistic here that says in the last 50 years, number of people has doubled, but the amount of meat consumed has tripled. So there is somewhere, you know, we're kind of crossing the boundary. I mean, again, 1.5 billion pigs killed every year for pork, bacon, ham, sausages. Number of individual fish and shellfish killed each year for consumption is almost impossible to calculate. So I feel like we're kind of going outside the life cycle. But again, that begs another question. Can we really, I mean, we obviously need to consume food. Can we really like fit in the, like you said, beyond organic? Is beyond organic actually possible for us to completely switch to beyond organic way of sourcing meat?
See, even if it's not completely possible, even if I know that an industry transition can't happen overnight, right? We can't just close the entire mainstream meat production in one night and be like, yeah, let's go to the farms now. We can't do that. But we still need to start somewhere. We still need to acknowledge that there needs to be a transition. And
correct.
Like, a lot of people think that factory farming should not be banned because like cheap meat is a thing which a lot of people need, and a lot of people give this argument of when you are hungry you won't care where the meat comes from, and you know. But obesity is currently a much bigger problem than world hunger. Like, statistically, there are more people dying of obesity than dying of hunger. And meat produced from the mainstream industry has almost double the amounts of fats and like half the proteins, or again, even if not half, it has much lesser, significantly lesser proteins than your normal meat. So it's unhealthy. And world hunger is not happening because we're not producing enough food. It's happening because we don't know how to distribute our food and we're wasting a lot of food. So the cause of world hunger is not enough food production, right? So that argument doesn't make sense when arguing about the whole should we go through the transition or not. So I feel like not just from the animal cruelty perspective, but also from a health perspective, both the health of animals and our health, having like a beyond organic thing is much more beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, we should have a second part of this episode to discuss like the health benefits and the other practical aspects of veganism, because that is something we've received a lot of questions about as well. But anyways, yes, which reminded me of another thing. So livestock apparently takes 80% of the world's agricultural land and produces like just 20% of the world's supply of calories. So, I mean, that is, again, a very mismatched proportion. And again, this comes into, I think we've moved to the carbon footprint aspect of it, right? Because, again, I mean, if we're thinking carbon footprint wise, meat farming is obviously producing much higher emissions per calories than vegetables. I'm specifically talking about beef here because beef is like the worst of them all. It produces like 4 times higher emissions than chicken or pork. And it's not just the emissions, right? Like I said, it requires, cattle farming requires so much land compared to other forms of agriculture, and which obviously causes deforestation and increases carbon footprint again and everything. So, I mean, these are some of the other arguments surrounding like the carbon footprint aspect of veganism. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, before I tell my opinion about carbon footprint, are you against the beef ban?
I mean, I feel like I don't really care about, you know, if people eat beef or not, but I feel like environment, the reason is religious, which I really don't care about, but I feel like it's doing something good for the environment because...
I feel like the majority of Indian people didn't eat beef anyway. So like, I just feel like this is taking away like the right of choice. But I was just thinking that liberals have such a convoluted opinions, no? Because we want not the law to enforce upon us to not eat beef. But we also expect everyone to give up their right of eating beef voluntarily because environment. But anyway, coming back to the carbon footprint thing. So the thing is, again, I agree with the stats, and those are stats. You can't disagree with them. If you disagree with them, you're a flat earther or something. But what I'm pretty sure that an avocado which is being transported on a flight from Mexico to India produces more carbon footprint than a locally raised goat, you know?
Fair enough. So
air transported fruits and vegetables can produce significantly more greenhouse emissions than poultry meat. And we have to take that into consideration. You can't just go vegan and be like, I produce less carbon footprint than you. You also have to think of how much pollution is being produced by pesticides and fertilizers, which run off, which pollute our rivers. Even that is a huge thing. So buying organic and buying local, I think, is much more beneficial for the environment.
Correct. I actually agree with that because, you know, even I feel like, for example, I'm trying to go vegan, but at the same time, you know, that is, like you said, it's not a blanket solution because when I walk into a store, like you said, these avocados, if they're sourced from Mexico, And there's avocados that are like locally sourced. I have no way of knowing if I just buy avocados, and because avocados are vegan, I have no way of knowing which one is like, you know, more harmful to the environment. So I can't just go vegan. There's also the something else that factors in, which is consciously like consuming. You should know where your food is being sourced from. You should know where your meat is being sourced from. And factor that into the equation. And I feel like that is...
And that is why like consciously consuming is a much more important thing to do than like going vegan or, you know, stop buying this, stop buying that. More important than that is knowing the source of where your food is coming from, where your clothes are coming from, where everything is coming from. And that is not being spoken about because that requires a significant more amount of effort than just doing one step, right? Again, not saying that going vegan is easy. It is difficult, and the people who do it, like, I applaud you. But you have to think before you consume. Like,
correct.
Again, there can't be a blanket solution, right? Awareness is the important thing. And speaking of conscious consuming, like you spoke about, like, I don't know where my avocado is from, right? There's this interesting thing that my brother did with apples, which is like he Googled some shit and figured out, like, he can look at the sticker on an apple and then figure out which country it is from.
Wow.
And he didn't even do that for the environment. He did that because he wanted to figure out Australia's apples are more tasty or India's or like that. And I don't remember his conclusion, but if you ask him, he has an opinion about this. But anyway, see, that requires a certain level of hard work, a certain level of Googling, a certain level of knowledge. And people don't have time for that in everyday life, and I understand that, but you still have to do it to some extent. Going to a farmer's market does not take time. It does not require looking at stickers and Googling things. It's just buying local. It's just buying from an organic farmer, you know?
Yeah. Alternatively, you could just, I mean, I personally do not consume meat at all, which my entire family does. In fact, I feel like I've talked about this before, but every time I tell my mom, oh no, I don't want to eat meat, my brother's like, okay, give her share to me so that she knows she's not making a difference. So yes, fuck you, brother. But anyways, I also do believe that because this is another argument, not buying animal products is not going to do anything. But I feel like that is not entirely true, because it's basic economics, right? If you refuse to pay for animal products, you reduce the demand for them, which in turn is going to lead to, well, fewer animals being bred and killed for people to consume. And I feel like this is also how the industrial change that you are talking about, I feel like that is also the solution towards that. Because if we will stop consuming more from, like, I don't know, KFC and decide... KFC is not exactly the ideal example, but I just fucking hate KFC. But if you decide to, you know, well, I am not going to pay for what did you say the first one was? The first industry.
Mainstream food industry.
Mainstream industry, right. You just need to decide, oh, I'm not going to put my money into mainstream industry. I think I'll go for locally sourced something. So simple economics, then you're kind of, you know, triggering the industrial change.
Correct. So in conclusion, what I want to say is I feel like the vegan community right now is just antagonizing everyone. And I don't feel like that's correct, because again, you can't shout at people and expect them to be persuaded by your argument, right? So I feel like an open discussion is very important to make decisions.
Yeah, and I feel that, right? Because I know no matter, I believe that, you know, my belief is that I don't want to consume animals. And because that is just how I feel because I'm concerned about this animal. My brother, on the other hand, he does not care about chickens being slaughtered. He just simply doesn't. And I can't ask him to, you know, oh, you must care, you must care. So that definitely is a personal opinion. And I feel like if you try to enforce it on someone, if you try to impose your opinion on someone, it's only going to antagonize them. So rather, you know, I don't know. I feel like a more logical solution would be, because I do at the same time advocate beef, I feel like is too much of a polluter. So I would definitely, you know, try to put my argument, convey my argument to people about why beef should be consumed less. And the way I would go about it is maybe request them to, you know, go for no meat Mondays or something. Just try consuming less than what you are. You don't have to completely let it go. That is still doing something, right?
Yeah, also like shouting at people never works. Try to understand what they care about and build your arguments around that issue. Correct. If someone cares about animals, give them your animal stats if you want the person to go vegan. If someone doesn't care about animals, give them the like
carbon footprint packs.
Correct, carbon footprint packs. Anyway, if what I'm saying is, if you want to persuade a person, listen to the person before like having your opinion, you know, that's how you can go about changing people's minds, because changing people's minds is different than shoving down their throat your belief. So
exactly. Oh, speaking of which, do you want to know how my opinion changed? It was not Cowspiracy. It was not Seaspiracy. It was this movie called Okja on Netflix about like this, I think it's like a live action kind of a film where this girl like gets attached to a pig and they show this whole thing about pigs being slaughtered and everything. And that is how I was like, oh no, I never want to consume pork again. Pigs are adorable.
Oh no, I haven't watched it, but it sounds pretty cute. So
yeah,
I shall. And on that note, veganism not good, veganism not bad, veganism neutral, we inclusive.
Stay tuned for episode 2 where we will discuss the more practical aspects of veganism, like if it's healthy, if it's affordable, if it's feasible, all of that. And we'll see you next time.
Yes. Bye. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. The links are in the description.
Bye.